I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking.
It's the Michael K. Show.
Is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
Hey everybody, Trey Wingo here, and the Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg starts right now. Question, will this be a day without a Don rant?
Oh no, it won't be. And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Monday, September 27, 2021. Hope you had a great weekend. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next four hours. Other 20, your responsibility.
Sure is.
I'll tell you what, if you're a New York sports fan, you better thank the Yankees, otherwise there'd be nothing positive to talk about. Nothing, I say.
Yep.
Absolutely nothing. Giants stink. Jets stink. Mets stink.
And in typical New York fashion, Michael, there's still a lot of people that aren't happy that the Yankees swept the Red Sox. So there's a lot of people miserable today.
Well, we'll have to talk to some of those people. Also, whenever we have bad takes, right? And we do. Every now and then we do. We're humans.
Sure. That's a poo-poo take.
Right. We are forced by our listeners and viewers, well, are you guys going to admit you were wrong? And we do. Because we're subservient little foofs. That's
right.
Why we do it.
All right.
But what I'd like today is to flip the script a little bit. So there's at least 5 to 10 callers that would faithfully call in once a week and tell you how Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge weren't clutch. One guy in particular was a real rube, or noob, as my daughter would say. Why are you always such a noob? They didn't get big hits. All their numbers were compilation numbers. Please call in today and apologize, because it's not just this weekend. If you look at high leverage situations for both of them, they're both 300 hitters. They've both been unbelievable in the clutch this week or this year. This weekend has been unbelievable. The Yankees swept the Red Sox. I don't know if you guys saw it this way. The Red Sox were the team that we didn't, that we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season. They were lost. They didn't have answers. They just didn't have answers, and the Yankees had all of the answers. And yesterday, by the way, if you watched the game on ESPN, boy, they tried to give that away. They tried so hard.
Oh, yeah.
So hard to drop pop-ups with Kyle Schwarber up, and they still couldn't give it away because the Red Sox didn't have enough. But the Red Sox do own the tiebreaker with the Yankees. That's why yesterday's game was important, because the Red Sox have taken 10 of the 19 games. So if they're tied with the same record, then that one-game playoff is going to be at Fenway Park, not at Yankee Stadium. That's why it's imperative for the Yankees to continue to win. They have today off, and then they have 3 games against Toronto. But what a weekend. It was great to be at Fenway Park. It was very, very cool. The atmosphere was unbelievable. And when Stanton hit that home run on Saturday, you've never really heard a plug being pulled. It was like a plug being pulled on a sound system, and Fenway Park just went silent. Just absolutely silent. And the Yankees, I thought, acquitted themselves well, Don. I thought they played as well as they had to play. The guys that had, didn't we say this on Friday? If they're going to hit home runs, they win. If they don't hit home runs, they don't win. Well, they hit home runs and they won. They won all 3 games. They got enough pitching. Their bullpen was good. And they did what they had to do. good weekend for the Yankees. Six more games to go.
Yeah. And then we'll see if this is the streak that's going to carry them to the postseason, or are we going to brace ourselves for another streak that's going to knock them out. That's what's so fascinating about this team. But I thought this series, in particular, the Judge at bat is very telling about the New York Yankees, right? Because like Judge came through in a big way, and it allowed Stanton to come through in an even bigger way. None of it happens if the Red Sox accomplish just catching the baseball.
Right.
Right? The foul pop that isn't caught, the foul tip that isn't caught, and it was a bad call. It should have been strike three because it was in the transfer. But whatever, breaks happen.
And can't challenge that for some reason.
Can't challenge it for what – I don't know why you have challenges, but there's things that can't be challenged and things that can. But you give Aaron Judge a third opportunity, he's going to come through. And if they strike Judge out, they walk Stanton. So Stanton doesn't get a chance to hit the home run. But what happened is they got the opportunity, they got a second opportunity, and finally, third time's a charm, they cashed in. They never do anything easily, Michael, anything. Even in these wins, they make you sweat. But they now have the first wild card. They control their own destiny. Now they don't have to. They don't have to scoreboard watch, Michael. Take care of business. Win these next six games, and they're in. And that wild card game will be at Yankee Stadium, and you can line everything up the way you want to line it up, possibly. If you continue to win, you might be able to win this, having clinched it before Sunday. So it's all right there for them. We said they had the sweep, and that's exactly what they did.
Our good buddy John Boy broke it out. Judge has had 101 late and close plate appearances this season. That seventh inning on, in which the batting team is either in a tie game, ahead by one run, or has the potential tying run on deck. His slash line is .365, .455, .612 with an OPS of 1.067. So come at us. Come at us, noobs.
Well,
I thought he couldn't hit in the clutch.
We have to be careful, though. Because you know what's going to happen if he goes 0 for 4 with three strikeouts in the wild card game,
listen,
don't you?
Because there are going to be times that you don't come through. The right. only thing you can do is look at the overall numbers. The overall numbers is that
I know,
he
but
comes
Peter,
through.
Peter, help me out. The Yankees are graded differently than every other team in sports. So what you did in late September isn't the same as what you do in October. What you do in the wild card game isn't the same as the divisional round or the league championship series or the World Series. Unless this team lifts a trophy and judges the MVP, there are going to be people out there that are going to say, well, but what did he do in this situation and that situation?
I think Stanton's in a good spot right now in that he was their best offensive player in the postseason last year. He stepped up and had two signature moments as a Yankee this weekend when it most counted. If he could follow that up with a good, whether it's one wild card game, a five-game series, or an entire playoff run, if Giancarlo Stanton could follow this stuff up with that, I think he could actually finally start earning goodwill with his fan base. However, I agree with Don in the sense that if Stanton somehow lays an egg in a couple of weeks, they're not going to remember the Grand Slam.
But they don't remember anything because Don hits it right on the nose, Peter. And we're in the middle of the Yankee Pinstripe Report brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. He carried them in the playoffs last year. They couldn't get him out. But unless you win
that.
A championship, nothing is validated.
Right.
So it's like every – because it's always unless you win a championship, unless you win a championship. Now, A-Rod didn't come through in the clutch at all for the Yankees until 2009 – and then he did, and he's thought of in that way. Well, he came through that when he had to. Stanton did come through when they had to last year. When the one thing that's been proven over and over again is that when he, in fact, is healthy, he's as good a hitter as anybody. He's going to have his moments where he flails at the outside pitch. He's on every single pitch right now. Every single pitch. He had an unbelievable weekend. Three home runs, 10 runs batted in. He's got 93 RBIs in the season. Do you know since August 1st, guys? August 1st, he has 18 home runs and 47 runs batted in. Since August 1st. That's just 2 months of the season.
Yeah.
So the one question coming in about both of these guys, were they going to be able to stay healthy? They have both stayed healthy. There was one stint that Stanton had, and then Judge was on the COVID IL. That's it. And now everybody else could kind of follow suit. I think it loosens up everybody. It's turned Gleyber Torres into a better hitter. Joey Gallo, no pressure at all because he's able to bat fifth or sixth. It's been amazing what they've done. They're the streakiest team I've ever seen. I don't want to sit here and celebrate or hang on the rim because that's not the case. They can lose all six games this week. We've seen that from them. But they've won six in a row when they had to. They're now in the number one wild card position. They still, Don, have less of a percentage to make the playoffs than the Red Sox, because the Red Sox are playing two of the worst teams in baseball.
Right.
And the Yankees are playing two of the better teams in baseball in the Blue Jays and the Tampa Bay Rays. So we'll see exactly what happens. But every single year, I know Yankee fans want championships. I get it. That's the mission statement. I understand. Every single year, Don and Peter, they give us something to talk about right till the last day. Right till the last day.
And on a day like this is a day you should appreciate that, Yankee fans. I don't know what's gonna happen. They might lose all six, as you said, Michael, a miss. Because just when we're ready to celebrate them finishing everything off, they drop the ball again. So I don't know what this is going to end up in, being a championship or whether it's going to be out in the wild card, maybe not make it at all. But today's a day where you can look at it and say, boy, I'm happy to be a Yankee fan, because I don't have to go through what the Giants are going through, what the Jets are going through, what the Knicks had to go through until very recently, you know, what the Rangers had to go through until very recently, the Islanders until very recently, what the Mets continue to be going through. Of just when you don't know when the next winning season's going to come. And if this is the worst the Yankees offer their fans, Michael, that's pretty good.
Well, they have three games left against Toronto. That's in Toronto. Then three against Tampa Bay. Boston is three against Baltimore, three against Washington, both away. Blue Jays, Yankees, and then Baltimore. So the Yankees have the hardest schedule. But there's a couple of things to pick apart about this weekend. One of the things was the fact that on Friday, I thought the Yankees played one of their best games of the season. They scored early. They knocked out Eovaldi, who has been pitching great against them. And he's the one that they are set to pitch in the wild card game if they face the Yankees. Not Chris Sale. They want Eovaldi because of the Yankee right-handed hitters. And I'm going to tell you another thing. You got to look at the way this roster has been constructed since the postseason, or since the trade deadline. If the Yankees never got Anthony Rizzo, right, then there's no way possible that Alex Cora would have brought in a lefty on Saturday to face Rizzo. Because it was all right-handed. You never had to mix and match like that. But there's that trap between Judge and Stanton that with two outs in the inning, Cora brings in Darwin's and Hernandez just to get out Rizzo. If he doesn't get out Rizzo, then he is in deep you-know-what because of the fact that he's got to face another two batters, and the next batter is, in fact, Giancarlo Stanton. And Stanton is standing on deck and saying to himself, he better get out Rizzo. Well, he ended up hitting Rizzo with a pitch. That loaded the bases. And because of that move to get Rizzo in a trade, the Yankees were able to have Stanton facing a lefty in that spot. Otherwise, they never would have taken out the righty. I thought that it was a weird move. It was a gamble for the entire series by Cora to bring in a lefty to get Rizzo, when Rizzo, when you look at his splits, has hit almost 100 points better against lefties this year than righties. So he brought in a lefty to get Rizzo. He plunks Rizzo on the knee, and then that lefty, because of the three-batter rule, is forced to stay in there and face Stanton. Grand slam for the ages, and I think that might have changed the course of the season. Yeah. We'll see.
But let's not forget what happened leading up to that. And it all started with two outs, nobody on.
Yep. Great at-bat for Gardner, great at-bat for Judge.
Right, and that's huge, because Hal couldn't get a ball over the plate. And then, remember, he hits Rizzo, but I believe, Michael, it was 3-1 when he hit Rizzo.
Yep.
Like, so nobody could find the plate. So the Yankees being selective, working out walks. Again, two outs, nobody on. They're on their way to a 1-2-3 inning and probably losing the game. But, you know, there isn't a Judge at-bat, there isn't a Rizzo at-bat, and there isn't a Stanton at-bat without Brett Gardner getting on base. And I always feel like I'm trumpeting him, but it's true that he seems to get himself involved. And tell me you weren't thinking that inning was just going to end quietly and end in a loss.
Well,
that's what it felt like to me.
I thought of Peter, though. Mm-hmm. When we worked that walk, you know what I thought, Peter? Mm-hmm. This guy tries really hard.
He does.
And he succeeds a lot, especially in the second half of the season.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's one of your poo-poo takes of all time, by the way.
No,
of all time.
It wasn't. It actually is. No.
No, no, it is.
No. By the way, the way that he plays, he's consistent with being a tryhard. But guess what? That's great to have. That doesn't make it not true.
So real quick, if I have a friend who does nothing but study all day, every day, study. Well, you want to go out? No, I'm studying. You want to do this? No, I'm reading. I'm studying. Study. And I tell my friends, oh, my buddy Judd, I love him, but he's a nerd. That's not true if he gets straight A's. He's still a nerd.
We're arguing over being a tryhard. Because
if
you study hard and you get straight A's, you can say, oh, he's being a tryhard. But you can't say that that studying didn't lead to him getting straight A's.
Absolutely.
Brett Gardner diving into first base, you could say, oh, that's being a tryhard, but there are times being that way helps. Brandon 100%. Nimmo running to first base after he walks does nothing. That's a tryhard.
Fair point.
I'm a Met fan, but I'm saying when you do things for the complete 100% optic of it, that's a tryhard.
Okay, I got it. That's fair.
Maybe my definition is wrong, but Michael, that's the way I look at
tryhard. No, I think you're right. A tryhard is like what David Cohn calls eyewash, unnecessary. Everything he tries for has a reason. So PPT is what I say, PPT.
What's that? You know
what that means, right?
No.
Poo-poo take. That's
a poo-poo take.
Yankees Report brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. We call him Bobby. Making classic wine for over 40 years.
Nobody ever called him Bobby.
No, his friends call him Bobby.
That true?
Yeah. Let's go to the phones.
Please.
Okay.
Let's go to Frank in the Bronx. Frank.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
I'm calling because I saw Peter's tweet last night about he wanted all the Stanton haters to call in. So I am one of those guys that he definitely won me over in the last, couple weeks with his performance, the fight against the Mets, especially this weekend. In Fenway, so I just wanted to call on behalf of all the Stan haters and say that I was wrong.
But, wow. But what happened, Frank? Let me give you with Don's perspective. Let's say the Yankees make the postseason and hits like 100. You're gonna go back to hating, aren't you?
Yes. Depends on how the game goes. But
you're
Frank,
for sale,
love
then,
is
Frank.
Forever, hate is forever.
What Don said was true. It's all about October with the Yankees. But you can't kill him as much, because he's out there, he's playing, he's doing his thing. So, I would be disappointed, but I can't hate on him anymore.
All right, I love to see the growth. I really do. It's beautiful, beautiful. Now, and remember one thing: it's all about October. If he doesn't play the way he's played, you know what? They wouldn't play in October. Let's go to Michael in the Bronx. Michael,
how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
A couple of things before I get to my main point. I know you said on Friday that you don't mind broadcasting from the stadium on road games, but did you enjoy being at Fenway? Did you feel the energy difference, or did it not fare?
Well, I thought it was a great energy. I'm still of the belief, Michael, that there's not that much difference in doing it. Obviously, you do get drawn up into the energy, and I thought that David and I and Meredith had pretty good broadcast on Friday and Saturday. But I would think that would have come through the screen if we were doing it from screens at Yankee Stadium. So, again, I look at the long-term things. If us not traveling this year has saved some people their jobs, I'm all for it because I don't think that the output on the screen is that much different.
I agree. I don't think the quality was impacted. I was just curious about how
it was an unbelievable atmosphere, Michael. Unbelievable.
And then my second point, I mean, I know everyone acts like Cora, or a lot of people I know feel like Cora is like a modern-day Stengel. Mm-hmm. But bringing in Hernandez to face Rizzo, you said before, Rizzo's much better against lefties. And Stanton is one of the best hitters against lefties of all time, one of the best slugging hitters against lefties of all time. So, I mean, even with the platoon difference that the Yankees made at the deadline, it's not like this was it was more a mistake by Cora. And then secondly, he goes out to have the pep talk, and then the next pitch is hit back to New York. So, I mean, it's just funny how, he's supposed to be this genius and just a couple of things just really, really backfired on him.
Well, I'll tell you what, Michael. I mean, the way a manager is perceived is all dependent on how his bullpen executes. And they didn't. Dom mentioned, Hauk walked Gardner and Judge. So maybe he takes him out, even if it's not a righty-lefty situation. But what he was gambling on right there, he put all of his chips in the middle of the table and said, Darwinson Hernandez is going to get Rizzo. Because he knew if he didn't get Rizzo, then he was in deep trouble. Because Stanton owns left-handers. And then after he loses Rizzo, hits him with a 3-1 pitch on the knee, as Michael said, he comes out to the mound and gives him a pep talk. And the first pitch is hit onto Lansdowne Street. It was so dramatic. It really was amazing. And just to hear the crowd just completely go silent was amazing. Was amazing.
Yeah. Now, listen, not to defend Cora, the move obviously didn't work, Michael, but as you said, he had to change pitchers. And no matter who he brought in, there was going to be at some point a bad matchup because he's got to stay in for three batters. Right. So his bullpen betrayed him. Not just after the change, but before the change. If Houck just gets either Gardner or Judge out, then there's no harm, no foul. They get out of the inning and they go to the ninth inning and everything's – we'll see what happens from there. But the ineffectiveness of the bullpen, he had to take him out. Now, I don't know what alternative he had other than Hernandez, but what else could he have done?
Somebody on Twitter had a great line. You know, what he was doing in that case was he wanted Hernandez to get Rizzo. And he was saving Ottavino to close it. They don't have a closer, by the way. Matt Barnes, you know, pitched in the fifth or sixth inning on Friday. They do not have a closer. Their former closer is now pitching in low-leverage situations. So he was saving Ottavino. And he never got to that because of the fact that the Yankees, you know, had that big inning. Now, also yesterday, after Judge gets the hit, Don, you said if they had gotten Judge, then they would have walked Stanton. Well, why wouldn't you walk Stanton then? After Judge gets the double, why wouldn't you walk Stanton? First base was still open.
Yeah.
So that didn't make any sense. And then, you know, Ottavino got crushed. And somebody on Twitter, it was a fan, just said, one of the great long plays by Brian Cashman trading Ottavino to the Red Sox for this very game. And you know, I like Adam Ottavino a lot. But one of the things the Yankees did not like in what they saw in the last couple of years from Ottavino was in high leverage situations, he did not pitch well. And he had a hard time getting out left-handed batters. And that was about as high leverage last night as you could get, and he did not pitch well at all. Let's go to Daniel in Union. Daniel.
Hey, guys, what's up?
What's up?
Yeah, so last night, well, first of all, I feel like I was called out in your opening, Michael. I still think Stanton is not a good contract, and I still wouldn't sign Aaron Judge because – just because you have 1 year of healthy doesn't mean that he will be able to play out through a contract. He had one healthy year, just like he had one 2018 or 17 or whatever. But last night's game was one of the weirdest umpire-manager situations. That strikeout on Judge was probably the biggest no-call in the whole MLB season. The guy strikes out, the catcher drops it on the transfer. There's no arguing. It was the strangest thing I've ever seen.
You know what it is, Daniel? Joe West is going to Joe West. I said it on Friday. I said when I saw him at second base, Joe West is slated to be the home plate umpire on Sunday. Enjoy. He never disappoints. You know who I blame for that, Daniel? I blame Major League Baseball. Why would you assign that crew to that series if you know that Joe is going to be behind the plate? Why? Why would you do it? This is his last year. He's broken all the records. He's umpired the most games. But, I mean, that was a blown call. He dropped it on the transfer. The ball was in the glove. Now, the reason you don't argue, you're getting automatically thrown out, and you can't challenge because it's unchallengeable.
Yeah, I'd like to know why that's unchallengeable. See, baseball, you love to use the phrase half pregnant. That's half pregnant. That should be. I understand why you don't review judgment calls, but why would that not be reviewable? Why is a check swing not reviewable? These are things that I don't get. If you have replay, use it.
Yeah, it's odd. It's really odd. And as for, you know, the Stanton contract's a bad contract. One thing that you do have to understand, it's a bad contract if he can't play the outfield. And he has become a much better player since he has played the outfield about three times a week. If they could get him in the outfield full-time next year, just think about what you're getting. You're getting a player of that level for $26 million a year. Because the Marlins pick up a lot of his contract. $26 million a year for his output is not terrible if he's not clogging up the DH spot. Is he going to remain healthy where he could play the outfield? We'll see. But once they got him to that point, he's been money. And as for Judge, it's going to be one of the toughest decisions the Yankees have to make. Because when this guy is healthy, he's as good a player as there is in the major leagues. Look at what he did in 2017, and look at what he's done this season. The guy's a monster. He is a potential triple crown winner. That's how good he is. And how about the play that he made in the outfield on the home run, or the would-be home run ball? The guy's a top-flight defender. He runs the bases well. He hits home runs, drives and runs, hits in the clutch, and also hits for average. So I don't know what the Yankees are going to do.
I have no idea. And then within all of that, you didn't mention the role that he plays culturally, too.
How so?
He's the most important popular player to the fan base. You know, him and Stanton are different. Obviously, you have different baseball decisions around them. But the truth is, Judge is much more endeared to the fan base than Stanton is, for obvious reasons.
Yep.
So in addition to everything else, 99 has become the most popular jersey in the stands, too. He's the guy little kids want to meet. So it's complicated for a multi-layered reasons for the Yankees.
Yeah, it's hard. And it's not just New York. He's one of the most popular players in the game. His jersey is one of the most, you know, highly sold jerseys in baseball. I will take a brief time out. Robert Saleh is going to join us at 3:43. So usually he's at 3:30. He had to move to 3:43. We've got some questions asked of Robert and also the Giant game. Wow. Also, Peter picking the Bucks. Wow, that was bad. That was bad. And then losing a heartbreaker with the Raiders. That's all coming around, isn't it, Petey?
I'm still in first place.
Yeah, you know. Okay, that's short-lived. 1-800-919.
How'd your Giants three-point pick?
Terrible. It was terrible.
And how'd it work out for us against Rick as a result?
They also lost. We're still up 1-0.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about pick them at all.
They had
your Raider pick. Raiders. You were suspicious of the line, and you ignored your suspicion.
Come on, dog.
I ignored a lot of gut this week. You guys want to know? This sounds so lame to say after the fact. You know what game I was hemming and hawing about?
Tell me.
Loved the Chargers getting points against the Chiefs.
Ah, but you didn't pull the trigger, did you?
Didn't pull the trigger.
Oh, my.
The Chiefs never cover points. In this case,
Chiefs are in last place right now. Sure. We'll talk about all of it. Got Steve Young later on as well. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. Your phone calls continue. Robert Saleh after that, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
98.7 ESPN is giving away up to $2,000 every week this football season with the Pigskin Payout. Your faith in gangrene and Big Blue is your ticket to cash in, so get your bets ready. Be listening in the 5 p.m. hour today for your chance to win. We're raising the stakes with DiPietro and Rothenberg and the Michael Kay Show, only on 98.7 ESPN, your home for football. All right, it's time now for Diamond Notes on the show. It's brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. So our good friend Jeff Passan, probably number 2 on our guest list, came up with the scenario where the Yankees, the Blue Jays, and the Red Sox would be in a 3-way tie for the 2 wild card. If the Blue Jays take 2 or 3 from the Yankees and then sweep the Orioles, and the Yankees then take 2 or 3 from the Rays, and the Red Sox win 4 of 6 from Baltimore and Washington, there will be a 3-way tie for 2 American League wild card spots. Mm-hmm. In the case of a 3-way tie for 2 spots, the tiebreakers go like this. Club A hosts Club B in the first game, and the winner gets the first American League wildcard spot. The loser then travels to Club C for the second game, and the winner gets the second American League wildcard spot. Now, because they won their season series against both teams, the Red Sox get the first tiebreaker pick. Now, Toronto beat New York, so it would choose second. Now, presumably, Boston would be Club A, which gets a home game and 2 cracks at winning. So even if you lose, all you have to do is win 1 game. If you lose, you move on to game 2, and if you win that, you're in. But the question is, what would Toronto do with the second pick? On the one hand, you'd rather have 2 bites at the apple, so choosing Club B makes the most sense. At the same time, if you've ever been to Rogers Center, you know about the incredible atmosphere, and an elimination games at Fenway Park first and Yankee Stadium next sounds awful. I think I would take B because you have 2 cracks at the apple, yeah, even if the second crack is at Yankee Stadium. I think in baseball, home field advantage is probably – I think that home field advantage in hockey and basketball are important. I think in football and baseball – I think football might be even less than baseball because there's no last at bat. It's just the crowd noise.
Well, it depends on, yeah, but it depends on where it is. I mean, right. You know, ask Seattle when they were really good.
Right.
So, but it's not even. No matter what it is, you still want the two kicks at the can, don't you? You don't want to have one game, even if it's in your own building. I would still take the option of having a second chance.
So would I.
Now,
so would
did you see John Boy's?
Yeah, the five-way tie.
It's too convoluted, but there is actually a scenario in which the Red Sox, Yankees, Blue Jays, Mariners, and A's can all be in a five-way tie for three spots.
I love chaos. You know that.
Well, you root for chaos.
I root for chaos in everything. Because chaos is entertaining.
That would just be incredible. But the scenario you pointed out, Michael, isn't impossible.
No, it's doable.
It's very doable.
It's very, very doable. Those are Diamond Notes brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Now, a lot of people have asked me, are you going to Toronto since you went to Boston? And there's actually extenuating circumstances about going to Toronto. If you're there more than 72 hours, which we would be because it's a three-game set, if you test positive, you can't leave for like 12 days. And then none of us would be able to come back and do the three games at Yankee Stadium. So that's why we will not be in Toronto, because it's just not worth the risk.
Yeah. Don't hemorrhage from the eyes, Andrew Marchand. You'll get over
it. Is it even baseball? Is it?
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jose in Queens.
Oh, hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I'm just wondering, is it because his stuff isn't nasty, or why isn't Nestor Cortez being considered for the Cy Young Award in the American League? I know he doesn't have a high K count, but he gets those outs.
But he doesn't have innings. Got 88 innings.
Jose, you're not being serious, right?
No, I'm.
He pitched four and a third innings.
I was just Googling his ERA.
No, but what does that mean? He's had a better year than Robbie Ray?
Disconnect the guy!
He's had a better year than Garrett Cole? That's a strike against Robbie Andrew. Ray. You know, we're going to put a strike board up just for the
callers
that don't make sense.
Valueless call.
Well, it's up to us to make it interesting, and I think we did by just demeaning him.
Let's go to Steve in Rockville Center.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Steve-o.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, sure. Perfectly.
Yeah, so you couldn't be more right about the Yankees saving the day. I'm a Knicks, Jets, and Yankees fan, and me and my friends also just started doing a little pick segment like you guys do, 3-2-1.
Yeah.
And I picked the Raiders just like Peter did for my 3-point pick. Yeah, we all know how that went.
The hook. What you want, the dreaded hook.
2 seconds left, and they I don't know how they blow that game against the backup. But, watching Stanton unleash that monster shot again that probably killed somebody in the street just fixed the entire night.
Well, that's what you hope for, you know?
No, I hope for a broken windshield. You hope it hit a person, Peter? Is that what you hope?
No, not me. But, you know, if you're a Yankee fan.
Peter would definitely hope it hit somebody. That's
Steve, I'm curious, what are you and your friends betting?
I think we're all putting up $100 and winner takes all at the end of the year.
That's nice.
Nice.
All right. Friends.
I like that. It's about friends. It's always about friends, Steve.
Yeah, that's
I might disconnect him in the middle of the
sound. Oh, dear that's God. I want really to find out how many wrong. Friends. If it's what him and somebody did. Else, it's sad.
No, I think he's got a lot of friends. Well, he sounds like a good guy.
You know, if you got like 20 friends, that's a lot of money at the end of the day. But can we stop this whole Alan Hahn narrative that all these teams are connected? Stop it. The Yankees are saving New York. Not the Met fans. Not the football fans who don't like baseball.
You know what?
What a good point, Peter.
It does nothing. Let's be honest. You know who it does things for? The fans who go, I'm just a fan of New York.
And listen, I think it's a bad thing. You know, I told this story. The first game I ever did in St. Louis, Rangers Blues, was during the Cardinals playoff run, and so the center of town's fountain had red water. Like everybody was in everybody. I got to the hotel, Peter, and everybody working at the hotel had Cardinal jerseys on. You can't do that in New York. You can't, because there's so many teams and not everybody's all in. Wouldn't it be cool? Again, no disrespect to the teams that I'm leaving out. I root for some of them. But imagine if New York was only about Yankees, Giants, Knicks, and Rangers.
how just unbelievable those four teams would be. And everybody would be in unison. But when you have three hockey teams and two of everybody else, you never get everybody on the same page.
You know what? Maybe I articulated it incorrectly at the start. They saved our show. Rather than sit here and be negative Neds and just kill the Jets and the Giants and so forth, we have something positive to talk about. And the Mets, by the way, were eliminated from postseason, so proving Don right.
Again, it went pretty quick, didn't it?
It really did.
By the way, that was very – you really got to hold that L, Michael. You so many times he'd keep going, oh, it's not over, Don. 2 weeks later, it's still not over.
Don, would you admit if they played just like okay, the door was wide open for them.
But I didn't think they were capable of playing okay because they're not good.
All right, let's quickly make the Jet fans listen up. Get tickets to see the Jets host the Titans on Sunday, October 3rd at 1 p.m., presented by Atlantic Health System. Lock in your seats today at nyjets.com/tickets and get ready to bring the noise and be listening today in the 5 p.m. hour when we give you the chance to win a pair of tickets. All brought to you by the New York Jets and your home for Jets football, 98.7 ESPN. Robert Saleh, the coach of the Jets, joins us next. Stay tuned for that. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
So I was walking out of Fenway Park on Saturday night, and this big burly guy wearing a Red Sox jersey said to me, I'm a Red Sox fan. I'm going to crush your face.
Excuse me?
So I stopped. I said, I'm here. And he didn't do anything. Gutless.
Ah.
Didn't do a thing. I said, I'm right here.
An idiot.
And what would you have done?
If he crushed my face, I probably would have been hospitalized.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he knew. Because usually the people that do all the talking can't do it.
Right. And usually if you're going to crush somebody's face, you don't announce it. You just crush their face.
Right. But he figured he'd scare Michael. Didn't. Now he's all scared.
Right. I think he wet himself.
They make diapers for adults, too.
Depends, though.
Hello.
I am here all week, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm excited about tonight's game on Monday night. A lot riding for me. It's a 1-point play for me with the Cowboys. Although I wouldn't mind if the Cowboys didn't cover, because then Peter would be 0-for-3 this weekend.
That is nice.
You
want
to see me get an 0-for-3, sure.
But we bounce back.
I will
back
fight
after.
You after this show.
our awful three-point loss. I bounced back at least, and you got a chance to bounce back tonight because I love the Cowboys as well.
I don't know why I gave the Giants the 3 points and not the Rams. I love the Rams in that game. I mean, the Bucs aren't going to go undefeated, so they're going to lose to a good team. They're probably not going to lose to a bad team.
No, it was a good pick. I just went the other way. To me, it's a crapshoot. It was like you have this really low line with two good teams. Are the Bucs going to keep rolling and play this ridiculous offense they've been playing, or is Aaron Donald going to wreak havoc? And guess what, Michael? You got it right.
I really did.
I mean, you're still definitively behind me in the rankings.
You have 8 points. I have 6. If the Cowboys win, you'll have 9 points. I have 7. Don has 6.5.
Don, real quick, I need your help here. What number is bigger, Don, 8 or 6?
8 is significantly bigger than 6.
All right, thank you.
But it's still very long.
You're going to be that guy. You're going to hang on the rim with the possibility of going 0-3.
I'm not a math guy.
You're talking trash about me as I'm still ahead of you. I didn't say anything about you.
All you've done the last 2 weeks is destroy me, so I have an opportunity to destroy you. I'm going to take it. I'm going to turn you into a little ball pinata. That's what I'm going
to
do.
It's amazing to hear you rewrite history. Every time I come after you, it's in retaliation.
I didn't. Retaliation from what? I never said anything last week.
Oh,
I congratulated
please.
You, and all you did was hang on the rim, let out a guttural scream, had your legs like swaying back and forth. You were terrible last week, and I'm going to be terrible this week. I'm going to make your life a living hell. Last week, it was get Michael week.
That now
it's
going to
be get Peter week.
No, I was getting you for other bad takes, not about the football. Don, do you recall someone playing celebratory music and hanging on the rim when they got 1 point in a Thursday night game?
He did do that.
All I do is win, no matter what.
But listen, it's early, guys. Have your fun.
Sometimes you hear this.
Great.
We'll see how it plays out.
Still fairly close after 3 weeks.
Oh, I think it's
very
just
close.
The way you'd want it. All right, so we're told that Coach Sala is going to be at 4 o'clock now.
Sure, why not? Why not 8?
Well, then it would be on with Carlin. He doesn't want to do that.
No, he doesn't.
By the way, Carlin brought something up. Oh, I want to bring something up, too.
Oh, sure.
Carlin.
I could have taped the games and spent the lovely afternoon outside yesterday. But I wanted to watch the Giant game at least.
Oof.
Because I wanted to see the Eli Manning ceremony. Are you kidding me? They didn't show a minute of it. They showed about him saying 2 words. What would have been and everybody's coming at me after I said it on Twitter. Well, they got obviously you're in TV. You know it's about the ad time. Run the commercials. Why did we have to have Terry Bradshaw laughing as he did highlights? Why couldn't they have just shown it? Why couldn't they have shown it and still run their commercials? It made no sense.
It's an impossible spot for these networks because they sell the commercial time. That's very expensive, and they want it to be run in New York. You can't time out these ceremonies to be able to get the commercials in because I've seen it. I've seen it with the Jets because sometimes I run them and do them live. It literally takes the entire halftime. You can't not run spots.
But Don, here's the deal. What they did was inexcusable
no,
to not show any. Why not? It's possible to run the Eli speech.
I think it's impossible.
Well, how come on Fox 5, and the game was on Fox 5, that there are some halftimes that they give us that stupid news update? Why can't you do that?
Because that's also paid for as well. It's a very difficult spot. Here's what they should do. I thought about this a lot because I saw your tweet. I don't know what the networks do about it. Is why does it have to be at halftime? Why are they so in love with doing it at halftime? Why can't – you could probably do this. Why can't you call up, in this case, Fox, and say, we would like a special dispensation to the NFL that our game kicks off at 1:15. Instead of 1 o'clock, it kicks off at 1:15. You have all the pregame stuff you normally do, and then when you throw out to MetLife Stadium at 1 o'clock, what you get – is 15 minutes of the Eli Manning ceremony.
But they would never have done that. They would never have done that because they had the Rams and the Bucs at 4. It would have run into that game. Same problem. You could have run some of it, Don. We didn't need the highlights. The highlights are not – run the ads, but you did not need to go back to the studio in L.A.
It's so weird. They cannot – they can't skip that. I don't recall any time in history.
No, it's impossible, Michael.
You're wrong. It is possible to skip editorial. I understand not skipping the commercials, but why do we need to see the highlights there?
Because then you're making it like it's a production like the Emmys or something, where now you're going to be counting Eli down, and then people are going to be upset. I can't believe you cut him off at mid-sentence. The better thing to do is just have the game kick off at 1:15. New York gets the ceremony. Unfortunately, in this case, so would Atlanta, but they'd get the ceremony. And so what? The next game, the Ram Buccaneer game, is at 4:25.
It's a bad opt. And then people say, well, you know, go to Giants.com. They ran it. I'm watching TV. I'm not setting up a listening area.
I really think they should do this at the beginning of the game. Why do it at halftime?
And also, this is what Carlin said. So I think they saw the reaction of people, so they tried to bring in Strahan to talk about it, what he thought about the ceremony. He didn't think anything about it. He was on the highlight. He couldn't even watch it. And then he said something that was really cold. Did you see it, Don?
No.
If Eli doesn't hit those two passes, somebody else wearing number 10 today. Wow, that's really – even Carlin said, well, that's nice, Mike.
He's not quite the good guy you think he is, by the way.
Wait, who said that?
Strahan. If Eli doesn't, you know, have those passes to Tyree and Manningham, somebody's wearing number 10 today.
And if Favre didn't fall down.
Wow. You really went there.
My effort was Peter, you know what I mean?
But correct me if I'm wrong.
I think he still makes a Hall of Fame if Favre doesn't go there.
He does. The reason that Strahan saying that hits Don is because it's true.
But why would you say it if you're his teammate?
Right,
you could say it.
You got those rings, too. Let me ask you, is Strahan in the Hall of Fame without the two rings? Without that ring?
I think so.
Maybe.
No, I don't think so. If he's
maybe.
But is he on Good Morning America without that ring?
I don't know about that.
Ask Tiki. Ask Tiki if it helped that he left a year early.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Well, listen, right's right. Never feel bad for being right, Peter.
So you're saying because of those Super Bowls, this is going to come off as...
Michael Strahan and Tiki Barber are basically the same person.
But now...
One won a Super Bowl, one didn't.
And now Michael Strahan's with George Stephanopoulos and Tiki's with Brandon Tierney.
Right. And doing a terrific job, by the way.
Brandon Tierney's a great guy. Don't rip Brandon Tierney.
Yeah, don't. It was Peter that went there, by the way.
I'm just saying,
from a television standpoint, I think that ring helps.
It sure does. All right, let's take a brief timeout because we have the coach coming up next. Sure. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN. I'm going to turn you into a little ball pinata.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Metropolitan Entertainment welcomes Tool for two performances in the tri-state area as part of their Mammoth 2022 international tour. I love Tool. Learn to swim. The LA bass band will play at both the new UBS Arena at Beaumont Park, New York, on Wednesday, February 23rd. That's the day after Nancy's birthday. And the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey, on Saturday, February 26th. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com, and be listening later today for your chance to win a pair of tickets right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's take a look at this day in Yankee history, everybody. Brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. We go back to 1998. The 98 Yankees win their seventh straight game to end the season with a .704 winning percentage. The Yankees, 114-48, became the first team since the 1954 Indians, 111-43, to play over .700 ball for the entire season. That's this day in Yankee history, brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years. All right, today was the media day for the NBA, and it didn't go well. There are star players that are not vaccinated, and there will be ramifications. So Bradley Beal said it's a personal reason. He said, I've gotten COVID-19. All I lost was my sense of smell. He also said, why do I keep seeing people that get the vaccine still get COVID? So why should I get the vaccine? That's like saying to somebody, well, I keep wearing a seatbelt, but you keep getting in car crashes. You get into a car crash and you wear a seatbelt, you could actually live.
Yeah, it's a pretty fair way to put it.
All right, so now... Andrew Wiggins of the Warriors refuses to get the vaccine. He says it's personal. And somebody said, well, and San Francisco has a rule like New York, you cannot be in a public indoor place without being vaccinated. So that means he's going to sit 41 games. And they said, well, you're going to lose a lot of money. He says, it's my money. It's none of your business.
Okay.
Now, Kyrie Irving was not at Net Media Day. Why? Because it's indoors. So he had to join the media via Zoom. And he would not address the vaccination status. But obviously, if he's not there, he's not vaccinated. And
he said
Malika,
it's private, Michael. He said it's private.
It's private. Malika Andrews said, how about playing home games then?
In the spirit of not putting limitations on the future, do you expect to play in home games in New York considering the rules in this state?
Again, I would like to keep all that private. Please just respect my privacy. Like all the questions kind of leading into what's happening, you know, just please, everything will be released at a due date. And once we get this cleared up, but as of right now, just please respect my privacy regarding anything around home games, what's happening, vaccination. Please, if you have another question, Malika, I'd love to answer it.
Now, all three of us got jobs here at ESPN Radio, and ESPN is owned by Disney. And in order to get a job at Disney, you must take a drug test. Now, I could say, personally, I think it's wrong for me to take it. It's invasive, and I don't want to take it. And they could say, great, you don't work here anymore, or you're not going to work here. That's the trade-off. I have the right to say no, and they have the right to eliminate my employment or not allow me to be employed. Those are the rules of engagement for working for this company. I mean, when I go outside, I don't have to get drug tested to go outside. I don't have to pee in a cup to go outside. Here's my point about Kyrie and Andrew Wiggins. Now, it doesn't apply to Beal because Washington, D.C., and the surrounding areas do not have that rule like New York and San Francisco do. If Kyrie can't play in half the games and cannot practice in half the games, he's got to be traded. I hate to say it. Now, he has every right to not take the vaccine. He has every right. So don't debate me on that. That's not what this is about. He doesn't want to take the vaccine. As he said, it's private. That's his decision. It's New York City's decision. You cannot be in an indoor arena without being vaccinated. So that means he would miss 41 games and would not ever be able to practice in Brooklyn with the team unless they hold outdoor practices.
Right. He'd miss more than that. He couldn't play the games at the Garden either.
Wouldn't be able to play the games at the Garden. Wouldn't be able to play the game against the Warriors in San Francisco. All of that being said, you then become a distraction to the team. You must go. He's a transcendent talent. He's one of the greatest players I've ever laid eyes on. But if this is going to be the hill that he's going to die on, he cannot play for the Nets. They cannot have that kind of a distraction for the entire season where one of their best players refuses to get vaccinated and can't play in more than half the games. You can't have it. And the Nets can't sit there so docile like they did last year and pay him for all 82 games. If you can't play in New York because you don't want to take the vaccine for whatever reason, and you have the right to have that reason, you're not getting paid for the games you don't play. Let's see if that changes things. But if not, we've got to trade him.
Right.
We cannot have this guy be a severe distraction to the end game for this team, which is to win a championship. It can't be allowed.
Well, the Nets have to take a stand here. And I don't know if they have or they haven't, Michael, but that they have to take the stand. Like I mentioned last week, Lou Lamoriello of the Islanders, he said if you're going to play, you have to be vaccinated. All right, the NHL has similar rules to the NBA, and he's just taking a stand. You don't play for the Islanders unless you're vaccinated. There was a guy in the minor leagues who wasn't vaccinated, and somebody asked Lou about him. He's like, well, he will not be playing for us. So the Nets have to make a stand. If you agree with Kyrie, well, then I guess you don't have to take the stand. But if you agree with following the rules of the state, then it's in the best interest of your team to trade him. How can you have a superstar that's literally not going to be able to play for you for 44 games? The 41 home games, the two at the Garden, and one in San Francisco. How can you have a star player, Michael, that isn't going to be available for over half the games? And
you
that's
can't.
Including the playoffs. You got
you
a series
can't.
Against the Knicks. He's not going to play?
You can't do it. And forget, even if the Nets agree with it, the rule in New York is you can't do it. So the Nets didn't have to make a decision to cut bait. You cannot have this be a distraction for this entire season. It's unworkable.
But when you use the word distraction, Michael, it seems like you can't have him because of his stance. No, you could completely 100% agree with him.
But I'm sorry, I can't have a player that isn't going to play in half the games. That
and that's what I mean
sense.
By distraction. You cannot be right. Have every other player asked about him every single home game. So Durant is obviously been vaccinated. Harden has been vaccinated. All the other players have been vaccinated. If this guy doesn't want to get vaccinated, which is his right, then he must be traded. I'm sorry. I know that sounds harsh. He has to be traded. Not for any vaccine hesitancy, which everybody has the right to have. I don't know why they do, but they have the right to have. But once he, if that's where he draws the line in the sand, he's got to be traded by the Nets. They cannot have this hanging over their head.
The thing that frustrates me the most about all of it, frankly, because I think there's a lot of room for discussion, is the privacy piece. It's so irritating. Like, Kyrie Irving is 29 years old. And I think sometimes it's important for us to remember that, because we put these guys up on pedestals and we idolize them and we worship them because we're a celebrity-driven society, and particularly with sports, we're really obsessed with athletes. He's a 29-year-old. And I know the decision-making I had at 29 was not fantastic. Now, I know Michael will be the first one to tell you that he's made the right decision at every moment of his life since he was four. But for most of us, adulthood starts to creep up on you in your 30s, and hopefully you've had a semblance of figuring things out by the time you're 40 years old, raising a family, et cetera, wherever it may be. Kyrie is just handling things like a kid who just discovered these interesting things to look at when he sees a YouTube video and goes down these paths that he thinks are so righteous and so noble. And listen, his reasoning around the vaccine, maybe it is all righteous, noble, and informed. But then just spare me the highfalutin cop-out of your privacy.
Well,
have the conversation. You have the platform right now with all the microphones to have the conversation. And he decides to play games again.
Right.
That's the part that, for me, if I'm the Nets, frustrates me. Do you guys, screw what the issue is, do you want to play the game with Kyrie again this year? Because you will be playing the game again. And also, my God, credit to the Nets for going out and getting James Harden. We questioned, was that the right idea? Guys, if they didn't have James Harden, they wouldn't be a power team.
Well, certainly not if he's going to miss half the games. But this is, you're right. This is the game that he's played from the very beginning, right? No information. I'm just supposed to, on spec, just, hey, listen, got to respect Kyrie's privacy, so I can't question him. Why can't I question him? And if he's got a reason, stand by your reason. If it's a big enough reason where you're willing to sit out half the games or possibly get traded or maybe not play in the NBA at all, give us the reason and stand by the reason. I don't have to like it, but at least I'll respect it. How can I respect a reason not given?
Now, Wiggins was already turned down for a religious exemption. So he's going to either have to get the vaccine or he's going to miss more than half of the Golden State Warriors games. Wiggins is not as important to Golden State as Kyrie is to the Nets. But Kyrie's not going to be that important to the Nets if he has to miss 44 of their 82 games and then any games they play at home in the playoffs. It's lunacy. He must be traded. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Metropolitan Entertainment welcomes Tool for two performances in the tri-state area as part of their Mammoth 2022 international tour. The LA-based band will play in both the new UBS Arena in Belmont Park on Wednesday, February 23rd, and the Prudential Center in Newark on Saturday, February 26th. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to score a pair of tickets of your choice of either the USB or UBS Arena or the Prudential Center. Brought to you by Metropolitan Entertainment. Tickets for Tool go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com.
So Mets police, a Mets Twitter feed,
okay,
tweeted out 38 minutes ago. I believe Steve Cohen is last tweeted on September 16th as part of the attempts to determine the source of the Post article. The Mets are 1-7 since then. You don't hear from Uncle Steve much when his team loses. And
no.
Cohen answered him back.
Oh, really?
He said, at this point in the season, can you think of something to say that will matter? I'm thinking forward.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that. But a couple of weeks ago, when it he hasn't tweeted even when they were still technically alive. He still wasn't tweeting.
Right.
So he tweeted. He had the stupid tweet about trying to chase down the source. And before that, wasn't the tweet about, like, talking trash to everyone who would talk trash about Baez?
Right.
So, hey. I mean, he can't deny that there is some truth to what the person's saying on Twitter.
Listen, I'd rather this, right? I'm not going to complain he tweets and then complain he doesn't tweet. I'd rather this.
Absolutely. If you're choosing, let's just leave it like this.
Yeah.
Were you disappointed when they were officially eliminated Saturday, Don?
No.
No?
Interesting. Well, interesting in what way? Was Everything I disappointed 2 months ago when I knew they weren't making it? Yes, I was disappointed then. Okay? You're not disappointed when you can see it coming like a freight train at your forehead, all right? It's a Randy Johnson fastball to your temple. That's how I saw it coming. So you might be shocked, Michael. You might be floored even. But I knew this was happening. I knew this day was coming. So no. And also, I'm good. That Brewers series was a rumor. I flush it.
Let's go to Jason.
Play with balls on fire, Peter. I wouldn't have known.
Well, excuse me.
Yeah, what kind of game is that, Don?
That's fireball.
Got it.
Jason in New Jersey. JJ.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call as always.
Thanks.
So I was the one that called probably weeks before the season talking about Zach Wilson throwing for the 4,000 yards, right?
And how's that looking?
Welcome back. Let me explain to you why I'm so confused on the Jets offense. Because this entire staff, right, they came from San Francisco, and they kind of run the similar play style that you saw last, like with motions as the Packers and San Francisco. Where has that been for the Jets?
Well, they don't have the same players, Jason.
It's like a completely different – no, not the same players, but where's the same play that you would see? Maybe they wouldn't be as explosive, but you would see a similar concept of playing style. I'm not saying that they would be as explosive as the teams, but you don't see any motions. You don't see any guys moving around. I saw one play that I recognized, because I'm a Packers fan too. One play that I recognized that was a little like screen to Elijah Moore when there's three receivers on the one side, and that play went for 15 yards. So I'm just a little confused on where is that system that these like a Mike LaFleur and their staff came from San Francisco.
I think you're devaluing the value of talent. There's certain things they could do with good play. They don't have the same offensive linemen as they have in San Francisco.
But honestly, Michael,
do you think that Wilson is as good as Garoppolo now?
No, but you know what? Explain how Miami scores a touchdown on the road. Right? Is that a great offensive team laden with talent? All right? Atlanta, they're one of the worst teams in the league. Twice marching on the Giants' defense in the fourth quarter on the road. Now, I get the Giants' defense is no great shakes. All right, listen, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, to be able to get chunks of yards with 37 seconds left and no timeouts, yes, talent does matter. But I'm with him because the Giants are the same way. I'm watching teams get chunks of yards. I'm watching teams march down the field. And when I watch the Jets and Giants, it feels like I'm watching a game from 1946.
That's right, before the year before we started the show.
Yeah, but I was still watching before the show started. That's the thing is that we keep talking about, well, he's not Aaron Rodgers or he's not that. But no offense to Heineke, but is Heineke Aaron Rodgers?
Sure.
March right down the field, you know, to be able to get in a field goal range. Two plays, scoring a touchdown. When does that ever happen for the two local teams? And really, in the last half decade, offense comes so easy. Every Monday, I got to hear Steve Young say, oh, you can play to your 50. There's all these available yards and blah, blah, blah. Not for the Jets or Giants. Every yard feels like you're performing surgery on yourself just to be able to get a first down. Meanwhile, I watch any team in the league just march down the field. Any quarterback, doesn't matter. Throwing the ball down the field, converting on 4th and 19. The Ravens converted on a 4th and 19 yesterday. A 4th and 19. We keep talking about the 66-yard field goal. They converted on a 4th and 19. When did the Jets and Giants ever do that? It's ridiculous.
Take a brief time out. Let Don towel off. We'll take more phone calls. What do you mean, why? We have
why
to take
I gotta
a break.
Towel off? I'm gonna own this. I'm going to come back just as dripping wet as I was before the break.
That's right, Don.
With balls on fire, right?
That's right.
Balls on fire.
Is that his first album or his fifth book?
No, that's an album, Balls on Fire.
Yeah, it really is. All right, Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on, yes, at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, here's your shot to qualify for the Week 4 Pigskin Payout. It's your chance to play in the 98.7 Sportsbook and win $250 or up to $1,000 for correctly picking the Jets and Tennessee Titans game. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to qualify. We'll be selecting our winners this Friday, so keep it locked in to DiPietro and Rothenberg and this fine show, the Michael Kay Show, for your Pigskin Payout. So many things to do. So many things to talk about.
My goodness.
I don't know if we can do. Oh, I do have good news for you, Peter.
Go ahead.
Now, the Yankees start a big three-game set against Toronto tomorrow.
What could that mean for me?
Well, you're going to give me time. Can I breathe? Okay.
My prediction, it's going to be that they're off tonight, so we have a full ENN.
It gets even better.
No.
So they're going to be heavily watched games. I would say they're going to be very, very widely watched games. But Tuesday and Wednesday, tomorrow and Wednesday, are going to be Picks 11 vehicles. So the pregame show starts at 6:30, not at 6. So that turns ENN into a television vehicle leading into the highly watched Yankee pregame show.
Wow.
For both days.
That's a big responsibility for me.
I know.
You're fine.
You sure, Don?
You can handle this. Just do what you do.
Be you.
Thank you, Don.
Let's go to Garrett in Morristown. Garrett.
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Don, real quick, are you going to be involved in the ESPN's coverage of the NHL?
No, I will not.
Bad move by them.
All right, well, terrible.
And it wasn't because I didn't want to, I'll say that.
Well, no, I know, but you're just good at what you do. Well, this about the Kyrie thing, listen, the only reason why I'm saying it, I got drafted to the NHL. I was a career minor leaguer. I've been coaching for 20 years. The only reason why I'm saying that, not to, like, pat myself on the back, is that I'm not the guy, like you guys like to say, sitting in the basement with cheater dust on my fingers. This Kyrie thing, you have two responsibilities during the season. Your family and your teammates. He wouldn't have this platform if he wasn't a basketball player. End of story. He's a clown. Get rid of him. I don't care about – they're going to be good no matter what, and they'll get a boatload for him anyway. He should be gone. And finally, Peter, I know you have like 400 jobs and you work your butt off, and I'm not judging you, but you guys say your listeners are family. You guys always talk about optics. Dude, for 80% of the show, I can only consume your show through television, and that's injuries. I have a personal thing going on. And by the way, the only reason why I can watch is because I want a TV with you guys. But Peter, for 80% of the show, you're reading. It's like Will Ferrell's mom in Wedding Crashers. Like, what is she doing back there? I just want to know what you're reading. Like, you're just not engaged.
Yeah, tell us what you're reading, Peter. Tell us what you're reading. Garrett wants to know. I think the world wants to know.
Well, first of all, Michael's had the same argument with listeners when they attack him for looking at his phone. Looking down does A, not mean not engaged, or B, reading. It can mean scrolling.
Napping.
It can be scrolling on Twitter. What do you say?
It could be napping.
No, my eyes are certainly awake. Nothing. That's the thing. Looking at Twitter,
Can I make an explanation for you? Would you allow that?
Sure.
Peter is preparing ENN, too.
That's a great point.
I mean, he's looking at stories that would be good in ENN, so it's not like he's looking at porn, although he might be.
No, I'm not watching porn.
Not watching. I'm still focused.
Excuse me?
Listen, I get it. I understand why. I understand why if you consume the show on television, you'd be like, oh, whenever I look up, Peter's head is down. I get that. But you have to, again, Michael said this before, we do a radio show. Doing a radio show, it's very weird to engage this camera in my room for 4 straight hours. It is a totally unnatural thing to do. It feels natural when I'm talking right now to engage the camera. But what every minute when Michael, Don, or a caller's talking, for me to just be like this, why?
People love you. That's why. They want to see you engaged.
I mean, listen, I'm a good-looking guy. My beard looks tremendous. My outfit's great. I appreciate all that. I'll try to give you more. But
and also, too, that if we're in the studio, you can look into the eyes of the person that's talking, but we don't have the benefit of doing that because even though my monitor, which is my television set in my basement, is behind the camera,
it's still so far behind.
Right, you're not seeing what's happening
Michael
now.
Michael could be talking, and I'm still looking at Peter from something he said earlier, so it's hard to get that eye contact going.
Speaking of how you look so good, Peter, I mean, maybe you could relate to LV. I've probably got a lot of playoff pre- and post games coming up. It'd be nice to look good and good stuff. You know?
So you're just for everyone to know, you were just schnurring, asking for free clothes.
It's worked for him, so why shouldn't he keep doing it?
Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira!
Hey, Michael, what's happening? How are you?
Good.
So, you know, it's amazing. I have so many years of patience with this team, and I'm starting to run out of it. I didn't expect too many wins this year. I get it. But I did expect to see a professional NFL competent, competitive football team trying to develop a quarterback. And they failed in every aspect except the defense showing some heart. So I'll give Salah credit for that. But the bottom line here is LaFleur is in so over his head, okay? Listen, I'm sure he's a good football man. He's worked his way up the ranks. But, you know, when the Jets knew they were drafting a quarterback, and they knew they were trying to trade Sam, you know, maybe they really should have brought in a more experienced offensive coordinator than somebody that really wasn't even a position coach yet in his NFL career. Because you got the second pick in the draft. You have a young quarterback coming out of BYU that has a very large amount of talent, and they're handing him over to a rookie. Now, I know the Knapp situation, what a tragedy, it's just absolutely awful, but the bottom line, sir, is he's still the offensive coordinator, and he is not doing the best thing for the quarterback. The quarterback got to take responsibilities, but when you have receivers running to the same spot, I mean, give me a break. I mean, come on. I mean, it's simple X's and O's, and the offensive line on Douglas, it's atrocious. I mean, that was his bread and butter. This offensive line could be one of the worst offensive lines I've seen the Jets have in many, many, many years. So I really don't know where they're going to go from here, but they got a lot of work to do, and I just don't see how it's going to get any better.
I mean, you could actually, not that we're rooting this, but you could see a 2-15 season. You can. And I got to tell you, I would tell the Jets one thing as I look directly into the camera. Remember when they used to say you lose Cronkite?
You lose
half the country. Mm-hmm. You lose Ira. Who do you have?
You lost Jets Nation.
This is not joking around. The pandemic has changed Ira. He's still a fan, but I think he's starting to realize that there's other things besides the Jets.
I mean, he's really upset. And you know, we did ask Sal about LaFleur, and he said that's when he invited us to watch the All-22 with him, and we will.
Yeah. But Sal is a defensive guy, and he's left it in LaFleur just because his brother's great. I can tell you a lot of brothers that weren't as great as their brother. I mean, Mike Maddox, Jocelyn Lemieux.
Nick Rosenberg. His brother's not as good as him.
Thank you.
Don LaGreca.
I was going to say that because I don't know. I mean, Dave's pretty famous, and you're pretty famous.
No, seriously, he's a superstar. I'm a solid talent with a following. He's a star.
Really?
He's a superstar. Now, in his field, but it's a pretty big field.
Is he telling the truth, Peter? Is Dave a star?
In his field, yeah. I mean, I don't know. He's not a bigger star than Don. That's Don being a nice brother. Don's a bro. It's different because Dave can go to one place where it's all right there.
Right.
Don's a little more broad, right? Like, Don can't go.
Go to the Metropolitan Opera and people are going to know him. They will not know
true.
Dave there.
Well, I was going to say, they won't know Dave at the Met, but they will know Don.
Let's take a brief time out, and we'll find out why Peter's been staring down for the last 3 hours, because he's preparing ENN right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.